Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I know you're a little let down right now because you're thinking I was going to come and sing my song right after Charles, but not today. Not today. Today I want to take you to God's Word, Acts chapter 1. Last couple of weeks we've been in this sort of a kickoff stage of our church life year. We start with the school system, the kids promote, you know how that works, and some of you don't promote because your next promotion is to glory, amen. So you just stay right where you're at until God calls you to your next assignment in eternity. But in the meantime, we've been talking about our church program, strategy, mission. We help all kinds of people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. Jesus makes a difference, and he's the way to live your life. It's just that simple. And when you put him at the center of your life and put him on the throne of your heart, then life begins to make sense because now you're in that right relationship with God in the only way that we can through Christ. Now, our three-step strategy, as you know, is to help people to know that and to come into a relationship where they know him personally, not about him, not just religion. We're talking about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And once you know him, you want to begin to grow in your knowledge of him and in your intimate relationship with him. It's not just an academic knowledge, it's an experiential knowledge. And we best know that and grow in that way by connecting to the body of Christ, the church, and small groups, life groups are a wonderful way to do that. By the way, last Sunday, we kicked off our new life group year with an amazing 5,819 people in life groups at Champion Forest Baptist Church. That is an amazing number of people on a rainy Sunday morning who got around God's Word in a smaller group and drew close to each other in fellowship and through connections. By the way, in worship on a rainy Sunday morning, 7,992 on three campuses, 16 venues. That's an amazing number of people worshiping at Champion Forest Baptist Church. Congratulations, great start to a new church year. Way to go. You should give yourselves a little bit of an encouraging hand there. I'm proud of you. Way to go. But as you know, it's more than a knowing and it's more than a growing. Sooner or later, you got to get going. You really, really do. That's important. Because while we talk about that knowing and growing, it's something about the going and the doing of something for and with the Lord that helps us to grow and to know him better. I promise you this, if you sit and soak and never serve, that is the limiting factor on your intimacy and on your relationship because we grow through experiences. Some of you have been married 50 plus years, congratulations, but you did not get to know each other to the degree that you know each other from a distance, writing letters and telling each other about yourselves. You have a body of shared experience. You've done things together. You've been places together. And that body of experience becomes the foundation of your relationship and then the building stones year by year of how you grow closer together. And the same is true in our relationship to the Lord. We have to experience. We have to use our spiritual gifts. In fact, as we talk about going, don't forget on our website are some great tools and aids to help you get going. For example, one thing every Christian should do is discover their own personal spiritual gift. On our website, you'll notice a link that takes you to an inventory or a little quiz. Don't panic. It's not a test. It's just a little quiz. But it'll help you through a series of questions sort of identify what your particular spiritual gift is. Now, don't say you don't have one, because if you have the Holy Spirit and you're not saved if you don't, then he came bearing gifts. He brought his gift to you so that you could use that gift in service to the body and in ministry and on mission. So as you go to our website, you can discover your spiritual gift. And more than that, you can identify how that gift connects to opportunities to serve in ministry and on mission at Champion Forest. Another link on our website will take you through a multitude of opportunities to go and to do with the Lord something to grow in your relationship to him and through that experience to know him better. That's important, folks, and I want to tell you, go ahead online, volunteer opportunities, there they are, and answer the questions, why serve, how serve, where serve, and make the connection and start moving. That's my challenge to you today. Move. It's been the emphasis of these three Sundays, and today I hope to get you moving in the area of service, ministry, and on mission. And to help us do that, I want you to go back with me to Acts chapter 1. It's true, we've been in Acts chapter 2, where Peter introduced 3,000 people to Jesus on that day of Pentecost. And then as they begin to grow together in community, we read that in Acts chapter 2, but we got to go back to Acts chapter 1 to truly see what got all of this going in the first place. And find here with me some instructions before you get to going and doing what God has for you to do. Listen to me as I read. Read with me Acts 1 verse 4. And while staying with them, he, that'd be Jesus, ordered them, that's the disciples, not to depart from Jerusalem. Don't come and go, stay, wait, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, and here it is, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Here's the first instruction before you do or go anywhere to do anything. You ready for it? You ready to go? You excited? You ready? Wait. Wait. That's it. Wait. Isn't that profound? Wait. Wait, because I'm with these disciples in a sense that I've spent 40 days with Jesus after his resurrection, and that's saying something. Because listen, if you think they were paying attention before the cross, imagine how much clearer and closer they were leaning into listening after the resurrection. Because the resurrection was proof positive of everything that he said he would do and who he said he was. They're excited now. They are ready now. I mean, they've seen Jesus conquer death and the grave, and he is alive. And having these 40 days for postgraduate education, they are ready to take on Hades with a water pistol. And Jesus says, wait, wait. Don't go and do anything without God. Now, we know what it means to be sent by and to go and do something for someone. If I say, hey, stay here, I'm going to go do something for you, you know what that means. Or if you say, wait here, I'm going to go and do something for you, we know what that means. But that is not what God has called us to in Christ Jesus. For the heart of God's call to service and ministry is not a go and do for, but to come and go with. Do you see the difference? Let's emphasize this. Say the word for with me. Not a golf for. That's F-O-R-E. No, no. No golf balls flying. Say for. Now say with. Say for. Say with. Now what does God call us to do? Go and do something for him or come and go with him? Yes, because it's God who is working. You know what we learn in John chapter 15? I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man abides in me, he'll bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, which means don't go anywhere to do anything on your own. Wait. Wait. Because you'll be joining God in his activity, which means your doing and your going will be the outworking and the working out of your relationship to him. That's the point. We don't go and do it for him and report back to him. We're working with him, connected to him, in relationship to him, and growing in him by virtue of our experiences with him. That's how this completes the circle, you see. We are not to go and do anything for him. But our going and our doing is an example of the divine human interaction that completes this no-grow-go cycle and circle. You will know him, and you will grow in him as you go with him. Joining him in his activity. So don't get ahead of him. I know you're ready to go. Some of you have come to me and said, Pastor, I'm ready to go. What do I do? And I typically say, well, have you been online? Do you know your spiritual gift? Do you have an area of interest? Have you looked at the opportunities? Yeah, I'm ready to go. And then I start to get the sense that maybe you ought to just wait. Because clearly you don't have a sense of direction or purpose or next steps, so wait. Because as much as I want you to go and as much as I want you to do, I don't want you to go anywhere and do anything on your own. Because that would short circuit the relationship, you see. Wait on the Lord. You'll wait, Jesus said. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get ahead of me. I heard this comment this week, this summer, and I've been really thinking about it this week. See if it speaks to you. God can do more in a moment than I can do in a lifetime. Let me try that again for all you Twitterers. God can do more in a moment than I can do in a lifetime. What's that say? It says, I need to stay very close to the Lord and work with him, not for him. It means that I need to abide in him and let him do his work in and through me. Because God can do more in a moment. What's that say about our prayer lives, folks? That we spend a whole lot more time doing than we spend praying. Maybe that's why what we're doing isn't making much of an impact, because God can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. So wait. Don't get ahead of God. Don't go or do anything without God. Wait on the Lord and work with him. Number one, wait. Number two, jot this down. You'll know what to do So go and do that. Go and do that. Now, this is an interesting conversation in verse 6, Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, his disciples, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? It's a fair question. He talked about the kingdom. They understood the Old Testament prophecies. They're asking now, since we've seen you overcome death and the grave, surely we are ready. Remember the triumphal entry, waving the palm branches? Remember, we learned about that. There's messianic expectation in that parade. The people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, that's God save. They expected Jesus to deliver them, not from their sin, but from Rome and tyranny and oppression. And now, after all they've been through and all they've seen and experienced, surely now is the time. Jesus, is this the time where you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Fair question. If I'd have been there, I might ask the exact same question. After all, they'd already had this conversation, do you remember? So Jesus, when you're the boss, who gets to be number two man? Who gets to sit at your right hand? Remember, there was a mom in that conversation too, lobbying on behalf of her sons. So I understand the conversation, but here's his reaction. I think it's just wonderful. He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Let me paraphrase that in the Texas vernacular. Mind your own business. Did y'all have that in your home? Our kids know what none you means. Do you know what none you means? None your business. They know what mind you means. You know what mind you means? Mind your own business. There are some things that are dad's responsibility, and now you don't have to worry about that because that's outside of your area of expertise or understanding, and it's beyond your ability to control or to do, so don't worry about that. I got that. Here's what you do. This is what you do. I think this is just a moment of clarity where Jesus says, hold on, guys, don't overthink this. You know what to do. You will have the power to do it. You'll have the instructions and the guidance to do it. Go and do it. We don't have time, unfortunately, at this moment to talk about history or prophecy or theology or eschatology. It's time for you to do a little practicology. I totally just made that word up. Practicology. And those aren't unimportant things. And we like to talk about those things. I love to study and read up on those things. But some things, honestly, are beyond our ability to understand or to know, and they are out of our control. Those are the things we don't worry about. Now, I'm not just talking about history and theology and eschatology here. I'm talking about anything that is beyond our ability to understand, to know, or to control. Those are the things we let over into the control of God so that we could focus on and do the things we know to do, that we are qualified to do, that we are called to do, that we are told to do. That's all we have to do. Now, let me broaden this a little bit and see if it makes some application here. There are so many people who are sitting around waiting to know. And so they never get around to acting on what they do know. Here's how I've experienced this, that God gives you enough information to be faithful to do what he wants you to do today. He may not tell you what that looks like in 5 days or 5 years or 50 years, but you don't have to worry about that. All you have to worry about is what has God called you to do with him today. Do that. Just be faithful with what you know. Some people say, well, when I have this, when I get this, or when I get there, I can do that. Wait, but that's not now. Now is what you have where you are. That's what you do right now with what you have where you are. Some people are waiting for that perfect time. I know people have said to me, Pastor, I can't wait to serve. I'm going to be so active and I'm going to be so involved. I'm going to get into this and I'm going to go this and I'm going to do that when. And there's always something after the when. There's always after this season of my life or after the kids are out of the house, which, by the way, our kids are out of our house again. I'm trying to contain myself. It's hurtful. It's just crushing. Just broken our hearts. Anyway, some people say, when? When I retire, I'll have all this extra time. Can I just share with you my experience? I know a lot of retirees that are working so hard, being so faithful and doing so much for the kingdom and for the Lord. But let me tell you something I know about those retirees. They were working before they retired. The people who say, I'll do it when, seem to never find the when. Because there's always another reason not to do what God has called us and commanded us to do. It's called around to it. When I get around to it, I'll get to it. But listen, If we aren't going to be faithful to do what we know to do, where we are with what we have, we probably never will. So you and I have a decision to make. And that is just to simply take care of our business and to mind our own affairs and to do exactly what it is that God has called us personally to do. Just do what you know to do. Just start with what you have. Just begin right where you are. You know what that's going to say to some of us today? Today's the day. No more conversation needed. No more discussion. Don't need any more information. Some of you don't even need to pray about this. Some of you don't even need to pray about this because you already know there's something I ought to be doing. There's somewhere I ought to be going because of what I already know. I want to encourage you today. Don't get sidetracked and caught up on what you don't know, can't control. Just do today what you know to do today. Number three, power up so that you can go and so that you can do whatever that is you should do. Look at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power. And not just the kind of power that powers your flashlight when it flickers and you got to take the D batteries out and replace them. No, not battery power, dynamite power. I mean explosive power, the kind of power that does more than power a lamp in your living room. It'll power the whole city. It's dynamite power. That kind of power, Jesus said, you will receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is God, not only with you, but in you. And this Holy Spirit of God is more than a comforting spirit, which we are glad that he is. He is more than a guiding spirit, which we are glad he is, or an illuminating spirit, which we are glad he is. He is an enabling spirit. Did you hear what I said? He's got the power. Have you ever been with somebody who had a credit card with a spending limit significantly higher than yours? And the ability to repay that card at the end of the month with no interest that you did not have. And have you ever pulled your little old credit card out with your little old $500 balance and 28% interest that you have to pay off by the 30th of the month or you'll be over your credit limit and have a penalty and a fee? You know that card? Have you ever pulled your little card out and dueled? Let me get that. Let me get that. Here's my little card, right? Did we do that? It's just pride. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit brings all of God's power to the table when it's time to go and do something with the Lord. Which would you rather have? Your little power or God's big power? The Holy Spirit is God's enabling power in us to do what cannot be done. Let me make two statements that are both true. God's work cannot be done God's way in our own power. It cannot be done. Let me say it again. It cannot be done. Here's the good news. We don't have to do God's work in God's way in our own power. Did you hear that? So I set you up with an impossible situation. You cannot do what God wants you to do in your own power. You cannot do it. Good news. God doesn't expect you to. That's why I sent the Holy Spirit to enable you and to empower you to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. That's it. So we already have, by virtue of the indwelling presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, anything and everything we will ever need to do, anything and everything God calls us to do. You see, the statement, I can't do it, is actually a very true statement. There are a lot of things I can't do. But let me tell you another true statement. God can do anything. God can do anything. And God will do anything and everything that he has called you to do. So whenever the preacher stands up and gives the invitation, whenever your life group asks for volunteers, whenever that ministry moment comes and you have to decide whether or not you can do it, go ahead and say, I can't. But follow it quickly with, but God can. Let's practice. I can't, but God can. Again, I can't, but God can. Jonathan's first memory verse when he was a little guy was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now you say, that's so unspiritual. How would a preacher teach his little boy that verse? He should be learning John 3:16, right? Or maybe something from Romans, some deep theology, right? No, we say, son, go clean your room. He say, I can't. Pick up your stuff, son. I can't. It's amazing. He couldn't do a lot of things that we wanted him to do. So we taught him early on, oh, you can't, but God can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Your little three-year-old walking around, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He doesn't mind. He's sitting right over here. He's a good sermon illustration. He doesn't mind. And let me tell you something. You can. You can. You say, you don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah, I do. You can. But you don't know what it is. I don't need to know. God can. God can. I'm telling you right now, God can do anything, and God will do anything that he calls you to join him in the doing of. God can. You say, well, I don't have enough time. Doesn't matter. You've got as much time as anybody else has. Say, I don't have enough resources. Doesn't matter. God's got all the resources you will ever need. It doesn't matter. The first honest statement is, I can't. But don't stop there, because God can. Power up so that you can go and do whatever God calls you to do. That's number three. Here's number four. You're taking notes, write this down. As you go and as you do these things, be sure along the way, here it is, get this, to tell everyone about Jesus. Let's read verse 8 again. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you so that you can. And you will be my witnesses. You will be. He doesn't say you may be, or you'll have the opportunity to be, or you'll have the option to be. I like not only indicative, but I like the way this sounds a little bit like a commandment. You will. You will be my witnesses. That's what you'll be. You know what a witness is? That's someone who tells someone else what they have seen and experienced firsthand. Not secondhand. I think they call that hearsay. I think they say object, and the judge says sustained when you say something you don't know. So when you don't know the Lord, you can't tell anyone about the Lord. When you're not growing in your relationship to the Lord to know him more deeply and more intimately, you have a limited body of experience with which to share. But when you know him, and when you're growing with him, and you have a body of shared knowledge and experience with him, you have much to say about him. It's just the natural flowing, you see. It's the natural outworking. We're going to say it. We're going to tell it. We're going to share it. And that's what he says we should do. And I know what people say, and I don't mind it. They say, oh, well, I witness by my actions. I witness by my lifestyle. Well, I hope you do. Because the worst thing in the world is somebody to start a verbal witness about Jesus with a life and practical witness that doesn't back it up. But let me just confess to you that no matter how good a life you live, every now and then you got to open up your mouth and let your words fly and tell them about Jesus. There is no witness on any witness stand in any court of law anywhere that stands up there and just smiles. I'm just here to witness by my life. My very presence is a witness. Yeah, well, we need to hear the story, what happened. And our neighbors need to hear the story. And our nation needs to hear the story. And our world needs to hear the story. What story? Well, it's your story. It's your story of how you came to know him and how you're growing in him and the difference that he's making in you. They need to hear about that. That's called your testimony, and you have one. Perhaps you need a little work on sharing it and on practicing it. We're going to give you that opportunity in the coming weeks so that you'll have something to say. And where do I start? Where do I start? Look back at the text. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Now, you don't have to go to Jerusalem to be a witness, but they were in Jerusalem, so that's where they were to start. Where are you? Right where you are. And in all Judea and Samaria, that'd be the surrounding areas around Jerusalem. And don't stop there. And to the ends of the earth, all the way around the globe, so that all people and so that all nations can hear the story of Jesus, so that they can come to know what you know, the Jesus that you know. And so that they can begin to grow in their faith and relationship to the Lord. And so that they can go, because they'll go some places you can't go. And that's how this thing is supposed to work. You remember what Jesus said, come follow me. What is that? No. I'll make you become. What is that? Grow. And what are we going to be? Fishers of men. Come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men so that you will go where I'm no longer going, and I'll go with you because I'll be in you by virtue of the Holy Spirit, and I'll give you the power to go to the ends of the earth to tell the story of Jesus to the nations. That's where we're supposed to go. And by the way, we got a whole lot of going still to do, because this week I had the privilege to serve my first round of meetings with the International Mission Board, only to be told that there are 2.8 billion people living today on planet Earth with no access to the gospel. I know what we're thinking for the next 5 minutes. We're going to try to explain that away. Well, you have the internet and we have television and satellites. Yeah, but you don't understand the Middle East and Central Asia and North Africa and different places around the world with no access to the gospel. I know what you're thinking. God ought to do something about that. He has. He sent Jesus to die on that cross, to pay the penalty for our sin and their sin. He was buried and raised again, proving that his offering was accepted and all-sufficient sacrifice for all our sins. And he commissioned and commanded and called us to take that story, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, all around the world, even to the 2.8 billion people on planet Earth who will die in their sin and go to hell if they don't hear about Jesus. God has done something. He sent Jesus, and Jesus sent you and me. Let's hit pause on that. Let's talk more about that on Mission Sunday in November, but let's now bring it back to you and me, because the first step to the nations is the first step out your front door. The first step around the world is the first step out of my front door. Because regardless of the internet and television and a church all over the place in Northwest Houston and across the Southeast, you know somebody who doesn't know the Jesus you know. God has put you strategically where you are as his witness. You don't have to call the preacher. You don't have to call a staff member. You don't have to call a deacon or a life group leader or a choir person or a singer or an evangelist or a musician. You're there. You're the one God called there. You're his witness right where you are. I know what you're thinking. I can't. But God can. But God can. As you go, make disciples. You will be my witnesses. Follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. That's a call, that's a commission, and that's a command. And for those of you who would say what most Christians say, I don't know what to say. No problem. We'll teach you. Join us in September. You have the card. You'll hear more about it in a minute for a new approach to evangelism training and to sharing our faith. Simple three circles, piece of cake. Take you a few weeks, an hour and a half on a Sunday afternoon. And when those 7 weeks pass, I guarantee you. You know what that means in Louisiana? That means I guarantee you. You'll know what to say. And not only that, we'll give you the practical experience through on-the-job training to gain confidence, because here's what people say. I don't know what to say, and I'm afraid to say anything. Well, you got to face your fears. And the fastest first way to do that is get confidence in what to say and then have opportunities to say it so that you overcome your fear and gain confidence. Let me say it to you today. You are the evangelist. You are the witness where you are with what you have now. Do you know what to say? Do you have the courage and the confidence to say it? Give this card a minute's look and prayer and fill it out and put it in the offering basket later or next week. You got a couple of weeks till September rolls around and we begin this new experience and excitement journey of training, and I want you to join us and be a part of life on mission. You say, well, do I have to go to the North Africa or the Middle East or Central Asia? Do I need to go to those places? You can, you might, I hope you will, but don't go there until you've gone across the street. Don't go there until you've gone next door. Don't go there until you've gone to that person in your office or in your class at school. Don't go there until you've gone to that family member or that close friend or that cashier or that waitress or waiter. Don't go there until you've gone to the person who comes to your house to repair something for you. Don't go anywhere and walk by somebody that God has strategically put in front of you so that you can be a witness. And by the way, why is this so important? Let me give you the fifth and we close. Remember this, Jesus is coming again. So you might want to get going. Look at this, verse 9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, angels, and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? I think that could be said of a lot of us on Sunday morning. No offense, guys, Charles, Brent, no offense to our choir and worship team. But wonder if it could be said of us on Sunday morning, why do you stand gazing into heaven? Now, I think there's a time and place for standing and gazing into heaven, and I think we've been there today and we've done that, and I'm grateful to do it. But now what? If we come back around here at 3 o'clock this afternoon and you're still standing there gazing into heaven, we're going to call for some help. We're really not going to think you're that spiritual. We're really not going to think that you just love Jesus so much you can't take your eyes off of him. We're going to think maybe you didn't get the message. What's the message? This same Jesus who was taken up from heaven from you today will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Just like Jesus said, mind your own business, let me translate this. Seriously, guys, how long y'all gonna stand around here and look? Staring in your spiritual navels, having a discipleship conversation and sharing your eschatological views and expectations. It's time to go to work. You know what to do. Get busy. Because Jesus is coming again. And you don't want to be still standing here gazing into heaven when he returns. Oh, sure, keep one eye on the sky and keep the other one on the ground. Because you and I have work to do. This is a reminder here, isn't it, that this isn't all there is. There is more to come, much more. The best is yet to come. All that's true. And while we're here, that we have a purpose and a mission for being here, and there will be some accountability for us when he returns. Because he left us a to-do list to do. How you do it. See, when my dad would leave, he would leave me a list of chores to do. And every afternoon, my dad's white Ford Ranger pickup truck would come up that hill on that clay road, turn left, and into our driveway every day at exactly the same time. Which meant I had all day to do what I'd been told to do. And some days I'd get after it early and get it done. And some days I'd procrastinate thinking I got plenty of time. But then there were those days that white Ford Ranger pickup truck would come a little bit too early. Or I procrastinated a little bit too long and my list of to-dos hadn't been done. They didn't call my dad Big Ray for nothing. We'd have what you might call a serious come to Jesus meeting about my to-do list that I did not do. You get the point here? There is some sense of accountability. Let me tell you something. We're not talking about sin. I'm not talking about him. You know, I hear these people say, oh, he's going, you know, hey, thank the Lord my sin is nailed to the cross. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that I've been separated from my sin as far as the east is from the west. Thank the Lord he's plunged my sin into the sea of forgetfulness there to remember it no more. Thank the Lord that if any person's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past. Behold, all things have come new. Thank the Lord there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't get too happy. We still are stewards. And the Bible said it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Found faithful. How will you and I be found? Well, Jesus, welcome back. I'm glad you're here. What took you so long? Been waiting a long time. Remember when you and I met back when I was a 9-year-old boy at First Baptist Church in Winter Garden, Florida? Remember my mom and dad and the preacher introduced us and met there at that altar when I knelt down on my knees and confessed my faith, invited you into my heart and life? Do you remember that? Yeah. Well, I sure have been to a lot of Sunday school classes since then, read a lot of books, studied the Bible, read through it many times. I can quote you chapter and verse, many of chapters and many of verses. I've read some deep theology, and I've read about eschatology, and I've studied this oleology and numerology and don't careology and doesn't waste a minute doing itology. And I can tell you, oh, I've been to some conferences. Woo, boy, I've been to some conferences. I've written some papers. I've written some projects. I tell you, I've taught some stuff. I tell you, So, sorry to actually be standing here by myself. I did hope you'd give me some credit for, you know, we buds and all. And yeah, I mean, how much I've applied my brain and my intellect academically to the faith. Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of feeling a little bit caught, found, because I'm standing here by myself, because I just never really understood, or just never really got around to, just never really thought it was that important to tell someone else about Jesus. I don't want to have that conversation. By the grace of God and in the power of God and by the word of God, in obedience to God, I hope to have standing there with me some folks who wouldn't be there if I hadn't been here. Who are going to go into heaven either before I go or after I've gone. Who will go because I was here. Are you with me? Somebody who I had the opportunity to say, can I just tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you the difference he's made in my life? Can I tell you who I was and what he's done in my life and who I am today? And can I just extend to you the hope that is only found in Christ Jesus? And I'm not just talking about heaven and eternal life. I'm talking about here and abundant life. Can I introduce you to a friend that'll stick closer than a brother? Can I introduce you to your redeemer, to your reconciler? Can I introduce you to your savior? Can I introduce you to the Jesus who will make your life brand new, who will scrub your heart from the inside out, who will transform your life? Can I introduce you to the Jesus who will make you love your wife more and your kids more and respect your parents more? Can I introduce you to Jesus who will make you more kingdom productive than you can ever imagine? Can I introduce you to the Jesus that through you will change the world around you? Let me introduce you to Jesus. We actually do a little better sometimes. But we're thinking. We're thinking. Oh, men of Houston, why stand you gazing into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken from you today will come again in like manner as you have seen him go. So go to work. Get moving. Get to doing. Not without him, with him. Wait, wait. Now you know what to do. Here's the power. And be sure that wherever you go and whatever you do, tell someone about Jesus. Can I just remind you that in all that we do and all that you do, and you do so much for the glory of God and for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of people and souls, in everything we do, we tell people about Jesus. It's how, whether we are serving food to the homeless or clothing those without clothes or building buildings for people with no shelter or mudding out homes that have been flooded by disaster, it's no matter what we do or where we go, this thing we do as we go, we tell people about Jesus. It's the heartbeat of your church. It's who we are because we know Jesus is coming again. And I, like you, want to hear Jesus say it with me, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord Jesus, we so want to hear you say that to us. And we acknowledge and confess there is absolutely no way that we, in our own power and might, could ever do enough to hear you say that. So we will surrender and give in and give over to your Spirit's power in working in and through us to do what you have fashioned us and called us to do. We will go wherever we go and do whatever we do, always telling people about Jesus. Introducing them to you, leading them to faith and to trust in you, helping them through discipleship to grow in their experience and relationship to you, and then to launch them in the going and doing of your great commission in their lives. And Lord, I pray someday that every person hearing my voice in this prayer right now will dedicate and commit the best of the rest of their lives to going and doing, to serving and ministering, to living life on mission, and all the while telling others about you, so that someday we can stand there with a gang of folks who wouldn't have been there except that we were here. I pray that over each of us right now in the name of Jesus. I pray it. And still praying with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I invite you now into a moment of consideration and decision. God's revelation is His invitation to join Him. His word does not go forth and return void. It accomplishes that for which it was set out. What is God's purpose in the preaching of His word today? Maybe you don't know the Lord. Then, oh my goodness, have I got a good news for you. Today you can meet Jesus. Today you can come into a personal relationship with Him. And if that could sort of causes you question or concern, you don't really understand what that means, hey, let us talk about it with you. We have a friendship room set up and some prayer partners. They're going to make their way right now to the back right corner, my right, your left. And if you're in the balcony, you just come downstairs through the elevator and head off into this corner. And our prayer partners will be waiting there for you. And they would love to answer a question you might have a conversation you might want to have, show you from God's word that you can know that you know that you're saved, that you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The people who are moving right now are moving to that room, and you can get up right now and go with them. We're not there to embarrass you or to accuse you. We want to love and help you come to know Jesus. If you're here today and you know the Lord, but you aren't growing in your faith, and today maybe the invitation is for you to move and to take steps into the right direction to begin to grow again in your faith. It may be connecting to a small group, a life group. You can go to this friendship room now, or you can go to one of our welcome centers and say, I need to move. I need to take another step. I need to get growing again. We don't want you to be a stale, stagnant Christian. We want you to be vibrant and alive with the life of Christ. So grow today. And for all of us who know the Lord and are growing in our relationship, we want to keep moving. Not apart from, but with the Lord, knowing that He's gifted each of us to serve and commissioned and commanded and called each of us to go, and as we go, to tell people about Jesus. So before we go, consider that Life on Mission card. Maybe today you're ready to fill it out and drop it in the offering basket. Maybe you need a time to just wait on the Lord and pray about it. Maybe you already know who you need to tell about Jesus. So before we move to our next step, and it's an exciting next step, would you for this moment just think or ask the Lord, Lord, who is top of my list of people to tell about Jesus?
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.